Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I may not be good at math, but in this outfit, I ate.
I'm throwing a pizza party for one. That's it.
Oh. I was waiting for like cheese or a top pineapple or something.
For one.
Chuck E. Cheese, you guys, it's Andy's girls. My phone just started doing the auto, so it just typed Aura Pineapple. Okay, incredible.
A great start.
Literally, it says Kyle text screenshot. Ha ha ha. I was waiting for like cheese or a pineapple. It's episode 630, whatever, leave me alone. And I'm so excited for this return guest, but also an episode that's happening literally minutes after I woke up. Looking back, I remember something waking me up and me thinking, rude.
Yeah.
And then going back to sleep, because it's really only on the days in which I need to wake up that I absolutely physically do not understand what an alarm is and why I should care. So I full, like, hair is in full flapperina. Same. We actually both have top knots. We're both touching
big,
them.
Messy top bun.
We're killing the game. Thank God it's one of my favorite people because I'm a professional. It's just, it's one of those days. It's one of those days where I just needed to sleep it off. And
I know.
So I did.
I know. We need a lot of sleep.
We really need a lot of sleep. And it's also the winter time.
It is winter.
It's so cold. Chill. Okay. Anyway, you guys.
Help.
So I know. Literally help us. I'm so excited to have back writer, comedian, host of the hit podcast Ruined, someone that I was essentially recording with yesterday over text when we were both losing our fucking minds watching New York. Welcome back to the Clawfus, Allison Leiby. Allison, how are we?
I mean, fine.
We're okay.
We're okay.
We have our Nespresso.
We have. I am so excited to be having the famed Nespresso
right,
with the frothed milk
thank
in the
you.
Coffee.
Thank you.
I do want this now. Like, I do need one of these.
So I didn't know, again, not an advertisement. I didn't know. I was always like, Nespresso, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
Because I thought you need like an old school coffee maker. But now I understand it. You just press a little button and it's done.
Yeah.
Now I get why that is not a bad thing. Now I'm like, that's a great thing.
Yes. No, I have a Mr. Coffee. That's what I use.
What I was looking at.
I was looking at
a white Mr. Coffee.
I just make like pots of coffee and that's what I drink.
Are you a regular girl or a decaf girl?
Regular.
I'm mostly decaf.
Yeah. No, I'm a regular coffee gal.
Wow.
Mostly iced. I mostly just want iced coffee.
Mm.
Black iced coffee.
But you're from?
Maryland.
It's usually a New England thing.
Yeah. But like, I think the Mid-Atlantic and New England, we share a lot of.
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
More so than like the rest of the country.
That's true. So how are we feeling emotionally, spiritually today, physically,
I mean, psychologically? It is early. And by early, I mean, it's 11.
It's
and
literally
we're both struggling.
7 in the morning. It is 7:15.
I don't do morning stuff. I do stuff at night. So morning is tough, but I set an alarm and I had to snooze it 3 times and I knew that. So I planned that for the timing and I still made it here at 10:32.
And I was like, you texted me at like 10:22 being like, I'm 10 minutes away. And I was fully half asleep. I was like, for what? Oh, my God. So thank goodness. And also, I just do want to say shout out to me.
Oh,
because I was in Rhode Island for a couple days dealing with some stuff. And then last night, I thought to myself, you could watch New York and Beverly Hills in the morning before a Libby comes.
No.
And I just thought, let me just do it now so I don't have that pressure. And if I want to rewatch, I can do that. And I'm so thankful, not only because I slept in this morning, but also because I will never have to see that episode of New York ever again.
Ever again. Ever again. I want to push them all off a bridge.
Like, I mean, they're pushing us right now.
These women, like,
a view from the bridge.
I feel like there's going to be 2 years from now, there's going to be like an ad for a class action suit that's like, were you or someone you loved involved with watching Real Housewives of New York season two? You might be entitled to emotional compensation. Like, this is criminal how bad it is.
I was listening to / watching Dorinda Medley on a podcast, and she was talking about how she wishes that. Have you been watching Traitors?
No.
Okay. No spoilers. No spoilers. Yeah. She's the star of the show. She's doing,
of course
she's doing incredible right now.
She's one of my all-time greats.
Yeah, she's doing incredible. Three episodes in, I'm like, oh my God, what's Dorinda going to do next? Anyway, so...
I did see really quick her on Watch What Happens Live, and Andy was like, oh, who were you the most excited to meet when you were on The Traitors? And she was like, you know, I got to say, it was pretty wild to see what Tom Sandoval's all about. Like, just like, she was like, seeing him in person. She was like, I didn't know who this was.
Honestly, sidebar, I get that. Because we've heard that he's like a villain. So to see a villain in, it's like, honestly, when I met Ann Coulter, I was like, I cannot believe you're a living person right now.
I thought that was like a good answer. I was like, yeah, even within the Bravo world, I bet you're like, this famed maniac is going to be in front of me for 3 weeks.
Honestly, she was talking about how she's like, people like to say, or some people believe that they should have named the show Girls of New York City, like take out the Housewives. And I thought to myself, maybe not girls.
Yeah.
But you know what? I was vehemently against at the beginning of this, the idea of renaming the show. And now I'm like, you can't
take the word Housewives out of your mouth. Take the word Housewives out of your mouth.
I honestly think it would have been a better show if it wasn't Housewives.
I agree. If they were just like, I don't know what they would have called it. If it was like, I guess they all technically have jobs, so they could have been like professional ladies. Like, whatever. Like, they could have like leaned into like any other just like loose umbrella for why we're following these women. But this is not Housewives, okay? This just isn't.
I have...
To make a show this unfun is, honestly, it feels like it should have taken work.
No, it's a federal crime.
Yeah.
That's why there are confirmations right now in the Senate.
Yeah.
They're like, how dare?
Yeah.
I have a possibly controversial, likely unpopular opinion.
Okay.
You need to prepare yourself.
I'm trying to physically prepare, and I don't know if I can.
And I say this with all the love in the world. And this is not the headline, but this is the place to talk about things that aren't headlines. I love Raquel. Mm. And I want the best for her and Mel.
I love their fam.
Love their fam. Would love to see their wedding on a show.
I have a pitch, but let's keep going.
Yes, I do want to hear your pitch. But I think she's, I don't know how to say this. She's obviously too good for this show.
Well, yes.
She's maybe the only one. Oh, and Psy. Sorry. Sorry,
I'm
not sorry.
No.
Sorry,
I'm
sorry.
Liking Psy this season.
They are the only two people that I want better for than this show. And I include Jenna Lyons in the group of shit.
I'm done with Jenna.
I get it. You have a closet. I understand. I've seen all the shoes and the dresses. Yeah. Enough. Literally enough. That cannot be a personality anymore.
No.
Like that literally, just you like laughing and being shocked is like not a thing.
No.
But with Raquel, I just think like, I don't think she's meant for Housewives. I think she's meant for another show, but she doesn't like the conflict. I don't like the conflict for her.
No,
she
doesn't like have a regular person.
She's a regular person. I want to see regular people on TV, but I don't want to see them on Housewives.
Here's my pitch.
Do it.
Reboot Gallery Girls with her as the boss.
This is when we can use girls.
Because like Gallery Girls was a great show. I loved Gallery Girls on Bravo.
I know, but some of those people were so deeply unlikable that, like, petite lady who was gaslighting
her
friend. No, they
were terrible. But, yeah. Like, the concept of, like, young gals running around in the art world in Manhattan in, like, yes, I'm into that. I think that's probably, like, make everybody, like, very cool and queer. Have Raquel in charge of a gallery. She can be, like, the Lisa Vanderpump, Leva, like, kind of, like, we see her sometimes and she's, like, good at being, like, kind of like Mama Bear, but sometimes it's, like, tough boss.
Tough cookie.
But then every once in a while we just see like her going out to dinner with Mel or like feeding their dog like special food or whatever they're up to. But we don't have to watch her get like super involved in like petty drama or like things that are hurtful. But we still get to see her on TV and kind of like see what's going on with her.
I know there would be no way to do this because of like understandable like HIPAA and liability. But like I want to see a Mel at work show.
I mean, that they feels like...
They should have separate shows.
Yeah, that would be on like... like
ID
TV.
Or yeah, because she's like a what is she? She's like a
forensic psychologist.
So she said, even though I haven't seen a full Watch What Happens since the beginning of time, I saw a clip where she was like, they were saying something about Tom or whatever. It's about Tom, and then she said like, I would be the person evaluating if he was fit to stand trial. And I was thinking, and we all know he is.
Yep.
So I want to see them succeed in life.
Yes.
But this is not the venue. And on the list of problems for New York, she's not even near the list.
No. The list, there are standouts on the list that are actively destroying a legacy of television. Bryn. Aaron. Uba.
But that's not in order, is it?
Just those three, to me, are the biggest problems.
Okay.
I think there's like the tier of like, I hate you so much. I need you off my TV is those three. And then you have Jenna, where I'm like, you're going to talk about your pubic hair and show everybody a photo of it at dinner, but we still have never seen your wife's face. Like, what? Like, I'm sorry, you don't get to be that weirdly selective in how authentic you'll be on TV if you're going to be on this kind of show.
Here's the problem with The Real Housewives of New York, and there are several problems. If you think that this stuff is so funny, that we're getting a full montage. Was there plus a commercial break? I don't even remember. Of synchronized swimming. And that's all they're doing because they have nothing else. All they're doing is exacerbating weird punchlines and then edits having fun or forcing themselves to look like they have fun because they have nothing else.
I'm done with Bravo being like cheeky and doing genre edits for things that aren't interesting like this.
Yeah, they're taking it away from shows that deserve it and celebrate it, like Salt Lake City and Potomac. They are allowed to have fun, cheeky edits, but don't soil the world of fun, cheeky edits by telling us that we're having fun. Because the thing that is so displeasing to me of many things is watching that episode yesterday, and I don't know if I was just in a bad mood or what, but
it puts me in a bad mood.
I was so mad.
I was in a good mood.
I don't know that I was in a good mood.
And then all of a sudden, well, yeah, but then all of a sudden
I ordered a cookie during it because I was like, something needs to help me process this where I feel like I'm getting a fucking sweet treat because this season of New York is the opposite of a sweet fucking treat. It's a weird goddamn turnip. And when is the last time anyone has ever craved a don't you look at me? When is the last time anyone has ever craved a turnip? I feel like you're gonna be like, oh my God, I just went to the best place and they like roasted turnips and it changed my life.
It's like, sure, that's good, but that's not what
it's not. Turnips are terrible.
No, this is just dirt.
This is dirt soup. And you're telling me I'm at Le Cirque. And first off, I'd be like, didn't that close? But also, what literally now I'm thinking about Le Cirque, where Aviva's leg, like iconic moments. When you are trying to tell me that the cast is having fun, so I am having fun watching the cast have fun for literal minutes, and also a pubic hair to have that, it's just like pigeons, but it's pubic hair. I don't think that's funny. I don't think it's interesting. I don't understand why you have...
It doesn't even feel like... boundary pushing and fresh in a way where I'm like, it's not for me, but I guess this is like kind of, here we are. Like, it's just, I'm like, this is, it's unexciting. It's like, I'm like, everybody's no one's having fun on this show. And New York was always about fun. Even when it was dark and fucked up, it was fun. those women had fun with each other. Those women liked each other. They knew each other. And even the fights were fun. Like, Bethany and Luann walking around blackout drunk at 3 p.m. through Bluestone Manor, just screaming at each other. And then, like, Bethany being like, I think I do have her haircut, actually. And, like, they're in the middle of a serious fight. She's like, no, I have her haircut. I have her haircut. Like, that was, even though what they were fighting about was, like, deeply personal and really intense at times.
And slut-shaming.
And slut-shaming and kind of, like,
Luann be fucking.
Luann be fucking. And good for Luann.
Yeah, good for Luann. We should all be so lucky.
But, like, at least there was still this, like, thread of, like, it's a good time. Like, there's a good time here. The excitement is enough to balance out the darkness. This is just nothing but darkness. And then, like, Bryn cackling away at, like, the worst sex pun I've ever heard that is objectively just, like, queer baiting or something. Like, it's just not... I hate Bryn. I really hate Bryn. I think I have not hated someone on Bravo the way I hate Bryn in a while. And I don't like anybody on this network anymore.
Wait, who is the last person that you can remember, like, triggering you? If I can even use the word.
I mean, I think, like, last season when I met Aaron, I really, I've had a long, I don't like Aaron, but.
You met Aaron on the show, not like.
Oh, no. Last season when I, like, was introduced to Aaron as a housewife, I was like, not this. But, like, but I hate Bryn now more than I hated Aaron then.
Yeah. I mean, I was pretty sure I was going to hate Lizzie Savetsky, but we never got that opportunity. Yeah.
Well,
which...
we definitely would have. So I can say that with, like, the most confidence I've ever had in anything in my life.
No, I just, she's intrinsically so deeply annoying. But yeah, with Bryn, I was on her LinkedIn while I was watching, because I was like, this makes sense. Yes. I just kind of feel like, she's the worst for so many reasons, but I also was thinking about it, and I think she's the worst in real life too. Like,
yes,
I don't even think she's putting on. I think she's this, and I get it.
I think
a
she's
lot of
this annoying all the time
and manufactured. And I understand that some, and in fact, a lot of it could be contributed to the enormous trauma that she's experienced. So. Yeah, I'm not taking away from it at all. Acknowledging it. Yeah. But also, she's a fucking asshole. And she's so manipulative. And, like, Uba has her shit. I think we can all, or many of us can agree at this point, this is probably not a great environment for Uba.
No, she is.
I think she's too freaked out.
Too erratic. She goes to 100 way too fast.
But I think she's feeling the pressure, too. I think some of this is, like, not Kelly Bensimone, Scary Island energy, but some of this is, like, this is too much for her.
Yes, yes.
Like, I genuinely do feel bad for Uba. I think some of this is too much.
Because it doesn't feel the way we see sometimes housewives, like, where you see they, like, mentally decide to ramp up. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think Uba is in control.
No, I do not think she's in control. But I also think Bryn knows that. And is trying to upset her. Mm-hmm. And then when she upsets Uba, she's like, oh my God, I upset Uba. And it's like, bitch, you knew what was going to happen because you're telling us in the confessionals in conversation with other people that you know what can upset her. And you're doing it over and over again. And then you're, to me, honestly, swear to God, sorry, sort of playing the victim here.
100%.
And I'm like, you
can't be like, she screamed at me. You made her actively decided to make her scream at you.
You cannot. Play smart and stupid at the same time. Said our Oracle, Bethany Ann Frankel. She said it. Bethany Elizabeth, whatever it is. Bethany Suzanne. Nope, that doesn't work. Whatever Bethany said, I do think that I'm guessing Bethany's like watching clips and she's got to be laughing.
She's got to be like, this is the worst version of this I've ever seen. She has to be like, come on. Like, I don't want to ever see Bethany again, but I'd rather see Bethany again than watch these women do anything.
# this is a crisis.
This is a crisis. This is a crisis.
It's not.
Be gone.
It literally. It's not fun to watch. No. If anyone is finding quality or escapism from this, you are literally blessed. I hate it so much. And the thing in the little bit of Watch What Happens last night that I saw with Andrew and who was even there?
It was Cy and Aaron.
Right.
He was like, oh, right. He like coughed in the middle, like in a way that felt like I'm bored. I'm going to cough.
As opposed to his usual coughing, which is like a giggle. Yeah. Like he was just filling airtime with that.
Well, also, like you could feel how silent that, like, usually, like, when there's a fun episode, like, you could feel that the crowd's kind of like, like, there's just, like, energy in the air. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is this a funeral? Like, they're, like, they were object. I mean, for this show, absolutely it is. But like, it was just like you could hear a pin drop in that studio, and like, it's never that quiet.
Every week that passes with New York, I'm like, it's another night of Shiva.
It's another night. We're in a whole season of Shiva. The thing is, like, at the problem, my biggest problem, or like what I think is like one of them, besides like the intrinsic, like these women actually don't know each other. These women are not friends with each other. Like these women don't do things in New York. Like they don't, like they haven't lived here for a long time. They don't actually have community here in any way. Like besides those like general problems with New York, I think like all of the drama comes from people deciding to be mean because there's nothing else to do. Like Aaron and I'm liking Sai this season, but she still is implicated in the shit talk about Jessel and Pavitt. Like Aaron and Sai and Brynn sitting around being shitty, just like deciding to talk shit about her for no reason. Nothing had happened. Like, that's just like, oh, in absence of anything happening, let's be mean. Instead of like, there was meanness with the old generation, but it came from things that happened personally to them where I was like, yeah, I guess I'd be mean to that person after they did this to me because of this misunderstanding. Like, this is just like choosing to be mean to people for no other reason than like, I want to be mean. And that like is both unfun and gross. And I do like Jessel to me isn't a problem. She's not like doing a lot.
She's not here. She's not even present for this.
No. And well, I can't tell how much of that is the edit. I'm a little upset at the producers this season for rolling with all of this garbage.
Like, a little.
I mean, very.
Rolling with. I think they're encouraging it.
Like once the first prank, the pregnancy prank, was like actually a storyline, I was like, oh, you used to be on our side and now you're on theirs.
This is being produced by someone or people who don't know what funny is. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to find a funny bone. Guys.
Is fun. And Brynn is not funny. I'm so sick of every confessional. I'm sick of every just like, I'm stirring the pot. My hands hurt. I'm a piece of shit. Like, what? Like,
When they called Abe, when they called Abraham that phone to, what's the joke? Is the joke if he started like, apologies for being explicit, LOL, it's the first time that's ever happened. Like, if she says something sexual to him and he's like turned on or short, it's like, I don't even know. Like, masturbating. Like what's the joke here? I think it's gross to do to your husband. I think it's a gross thing to have your obviously he knows they're being filmed. It's a show. So my guess is he's like
they're going to be calling.
They're going to be calling doing something stupid.
Like at minimum, you know.
We had to stop for one second.
We're just doing a pickup.
We're just going to pick up.
And run it. But admit, like, they're calling Abe. He know, like, obviously he was like, there's a call sheet for him too. Like, they, like, or like, likely it was like, hey, be of it. Like, he knew she was on this trip for the show. So, like, a phone call, she's on camera, you're on camera.
Anatomy of a joke. You're a professional comedian, funny person. Even when you clock out, you're still funny. Like, where's the joke here?
I don't understand what, like, the best case scenario was.
Exactly.
And what, like, to them, that all going its best was what?
And then Brynn being like, or who, I don't even remember if it was Brynn or Aaron. Everybody was like, Uba ruined it by saying you're surrounded by people. No, Uba's actually defending this guy who, for argument's sake, let's say doesn't know, even though it's not a joke because we know that he is aware that they're being filmed. But like, even if he isn't, it's, I'm sorry.
If I'm on speakerphone, I would like somebody to acknowledge that.
Yeah. And also, it's a weird fucking thing to do unless that's your thing. Like, unless you guys are into a platonic friend or maybe not platonic friend calling and like trying to turn on your husband. I'm sorry. Like, maybe that's Pollyanna of me and God bless Pollyanna Galley, party of one. I think that's a weird fucking thing to do. I don't think it's, and I also don't get the humor here. What's the punchline?
Yeah.
What's the goal you're trying to achieve?
That's the thing. It's like, what's the, okay, so he, what? Goes with it and like starts having phone sex with
them. That's what I'm saying.
Like, that's like real or fake. Like, is that funny? Like,
I would be so grossed out. I'm sorry. As a viewer, I don't want to see this.
I don't know a lot about them. I don't want to know a lot about them. But the way Aaron talks about that relationship and just her relationship with sexuality in general and like, and being interested in sex and like the, like, is so weird in a way where I'm like, have you just had sex the four times? Do you guys swing or are you disgusted by someone looking at your husband? Like, it's like she just goes to like whatever she thinks is an interesting perspective on sexuality when it's her turn to be discussing it. And I'm like, oh, you don't have a point of view. You're just kind of like saying whatever. I think you and your husband kind of don't even like each other that much. Like, I like you are mean to him on camera. The like mushrooms thing was like always a very strange moment. And like, I don't know, like, I just don't know. You seem to have no fun in your life whatsoever. I don't know. Like, it's just so like she like, I think she also sees Brynn play up this sexuality and is like, oh, great idea. I'm going to also be like, we're so sexual. But it's like, why? Versus, again, I continually compare these women to the original cast.
It's and their like, own fault. At this
those
point.
Women, their sexuality, like no one was trying to be anything. Everyone was just like relentlessly themselves. and like whatever that meant with their sex lives was like revealed or not revealed. But like, this, like, I'm like, ugh, you're showing us too much. I feel like it's not real, which is, like, preferable in this scenario, but also, like, what are we doing? Like, there was so little going on that they were like, whatever this ends up being is going to be something.
This is not a professional production. I do not believe that anybody involved in this has ever done anything successful in their lives, or they've stumbled upon just a wretchedly unlikable environment and cast, and they're trying to make it work, but it feels like I'm being confronted with poop and fart jokes, and someone's trying to tell me that everybody's really funny and really smart. And I just don't, I mean, there's a time and a place. And we saw some poop and fart jokes on New York, and it was on Real New York, and it was
we just
New
saw
New York
them
in Real,
like,
and we
pooping on the floor.
We literally saw them shitting into diapers in Columbia, and then Daily Mail photos of like Ramona in a wheelchair at the airport, and we said magic was made. They went to fucking Disneyland,
but at least it was authentically.
They
happening.
Almost died. They almost died on a boat
in multiple different ways. Like
Bethany was holding Carol's hair, or Carol was holding Bethany's hair. Like, we never...
Ramona can't swim. She can't swim.
And now we're getting this. And then I started to think to myself, is it a big deal if a dead bird's on a beach? Like, these are the things that I'm thinking about. Like,
Uba was being really nasty. And, like, I think that
there's... So nasty and so rude.
I think that there is an element of Uba that, like, she does not know how she's coming off sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, like, maybe that's cultural. Maybe that's personality stuff. I don't know. But I think that, like, sometimes she says stuff and, like, she isn't saying it to be necessarily hurtful towards people. But when somebody says that hurt me, she can't ever be like, oh, I'm so sorry that hurt you. That's not what I meant. I didn't want to hurt you. Instead, she's like, well, that's not what I meant. Why would you take it that way? Like, she just, like, she, I, like, of all of these, I definitely don't want to spend a single second with any of these women. But, like, Uba makes me, like, physically react because I just don't like how like flip she can be about things she says. That I think it's like where Brynn is like calculatedly trying to say the worst thing. I think like some stuff just comes out of Uba's mouth and then she won't take accountability for it.
I think Uba Googled the lyrics to Simon Van Kampen's pop single, I'm Real. And she said to myself, this is the script. This is the journey. And then anytime someone says anything to Uba as far as like this was insensitive, her response is I'm real.
Yeah,
I'm just being me. Like she's like, my response is like, this is who I am, because she's thinking about how she's going to be perceived.
Yes.
And her, I think, main priority or objective in these moments is to be like, well, I'm not the one being manufactured. I'm being myself. And she might be this flippant in her real life, but I think reality TV has broken her at this point.
Yes, I think she needs to be like, just go be with your rich finance boyfriend in Connecticut and have a nice life and model sometimes and have your hot sauce and go to parties and get off my TV.
I
say that wholeheartedly also to Brynn and Aaron and Jenna Lyons and
maybe Jessel. I'm sorry.
Jessel, like, we just need, this isn't right for her. Like, I do think that Jessel, like, is kind of right for Housewives, but like this, I'm like, but now she's been kind of like ruined. Like,
I mean, congrats on the teeth.
Yeah, she looks great.
She looks great. She and Pavitt are probably not fucking, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever works for them, it might not be okay, but whatever works for them.
If they're happy, great.
If they're happy, great.
But she was never a strong housewife.
No.
We were like, yes, we stan, kind of ironically. And then she took that literally, as did the rest of the cast. But I think Jessel's sort of an ensemble player.
She's not a star.
She works because
like she is like very things roll off. Like she has that very like British sensibility of like, oh, okay, I was joking. Like, sorry, didn't really mean to. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Like, I'm not. It's not a bit like she's not like she's never going to scream the way like Bryn and Uba are screaming at each other. Mm-hmm. She's not mean like Aaron, like and like conniving, manipulative. And like she is like, why does that affect you? Like, I don't understand why like me getting glam affects you. Like, I like that she can be that. But like we need people being mean to Jessel for Jessel to be likable. And I don't want to watch that.
Listen, I'm not here to, you know, start any arguments, God forbid. Do we think that I understand Aaron being manipulative. Is Aaron mean? I understand her being gaslighty, but is she mean?
I think she's mean.
Yeah?
I think she likes to talk shit behind people's back in a nasty way.
Oh, my God. This is terrible. Is that mean?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah,
I think
yeah,
in this context,
it definitely
when
is.
You know you're on camera, that person's eventually going to see it. And it's like, I don't know. Like, I found the Cyber and Aaron just, like, sitting around and talking shit about Jessel.
Yes.
Like, Aaron's been involved in a lot of the stupid pranks. Mm-hmm. I think pranks are mean.
Yeah, pranks
Even
are
them,
mean.
Even, like, hiding Jessel's luggage and just laughing about it when you know it would... If somebody took my luggage and it had my passport in it and I was in another country for work, I would lose my shit on you. And if I found out that you hid it from me to make me freak out... Like, they like there was no purpose to that. It's not like Jessel likes pranks. And Aaron was a part of that, too. And I'm just like, you know, I don't like she. And maybe she's not mean to everyone and she's just kind of mean to Jessel. But I'm like, I don't know. Stop being mean to Jessel. Like, what does she do to you?
I have a new goal for 2025, a new beginning. Working on improving my French. We've all heard new year, new you a million times. But why just stick to one version of yourself? Pear Eyewear has tons of shapes and styles to match any new vibe or hyperfixation, so you can keep trying new things and switch up your look anytime you want. Base frames start at just $60, including your prescription. Plus, you get 15% off by using code AndysGirls at PearEyewear.com. I am an absolute eyewear girly. It's even in the illustration for this pod. And I am rocking an acrylic pair of the Soto glasses from Pear Eyewear. I also got a bunch of top frames, black, blush, and for just a little bit of zest watching Beverly Hills, Diamonds and Rosé, the rose gold sparkle. I like wearing the acrylic on its own, but the great thing about Pear Eyewear is these top frames you get to choose. You snap right on top and you have a whole new look. It's a budget-friendly way to change your eyewear without compromising on style or quality. And my favorite part about ordering from Pear Eyewear is it's stress-free. There are free returns and exchanges within 30 days, no questions asked. You can also find your perfect frame shape from home with virtual try-on. Show off new sides of yourself this year. Go to PearEyewear.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning Andy's Girls, a Real Housewives podcast, the pod you're listening to right now, sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's Pear, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com, code Andy's Girls. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com. Could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, this season of Real Housewives of New York, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. For me, it's those couple days before my period when I just
don't feel like myself. And there's also perimenopause and menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is we don't have to suffer through anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hashtag spiritually mid-20s plus. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, menopause symptoms like hot flashes, night sweats, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today.
None of these women are funny in a way that works for us on television. No. They cannot sustain anything, which is why we are getting synchronized swimming and pubic hair, which again, if you want to do it once and you want to make one joke of it,
sure,
we should only hear about it one time. The fact that we're hearing about it over and over again and they're doing confessionals about it because they have filling props air.
And they're it's like her first mention of like, no, it's straight. It's like Jessel's hair. Like that's a funny thing to say, I guess. And then move on.
Carrot top for friend of.
Right.
It's not funny. It's literally not funny.
It also doesn't evolve. Everyone. It's not interesting. Mm-mm. It's not like
mature in any way. Yeah. Is this the argument against like housewives in their 30s? Well, no, because we have housewives in their 30s on other franchises who are great.
Yeah. Salt Lake has some, I think.
I mean, like, listen, I don't know how people feel about her at this point, but like Rachel Fuda, not a bad pick.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Ashley Darby was like 24 when she wasn't 24, but she was like in her literal 20s, I think, her first season of Potomac. And regardless of how you feel, and I still need to catch up, she's a star.
Yeah, 100%. And we've seen other good, I think that like some of the best Vanderpump, Southern Charm, and Summer House can stand up to some of the best housewives in terms of enjoyability of a season. And those people are all in their 20s and 30s.
I am so upset on behalf of this season of Southern Charm that it has to air the same week as the real new Real Housewives of New York. New New York. Like,
even
let alone Salt Lake
and Beverly Hills that are like operating like kind of at like a high level for both of those franchises.
I mean,
maybe the best it's been in years for both, for certainly for Beverly Hills.
Salt Lake City is like the best
and Salt Lake
show
is
on
like
television.
Crushing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then like Beverly Hills shares a night. They're the lead in to New York.
That's so embarrassing. I'm so embarrassed for them. That's literally embarrassing. That's embarrassing.
Should we talk about Beverly Hills? Not to like host.
No, someone should. Someone needs to at this point. Someone step in. Wait,
I feel like
I'm
just going to spin my wheels being angry at these women.
It's deserved.
And then by the teaser is that like next week is a shocking, incredibly dark,
upsetting.
We've never seen this before, Housewives finale. And I guess my guess is like somebody gets physical.
Oh, I don't think that.
You don't think so?
No, I think it's their version of Scary Island, but sadder and more depressing.
Scary Island was still kind of fun in a way.
Yeah, because there were fun people involved, and like Sonia's just trying to catch up,
and no one else
Bethany's
was
a
fighting.
Cook.
The other when Kelly lost it, the rest of them were like, okay, we're here to not make this worse. Like
right.
Versus like this, I think it like leads into every single person is fighting.
At least there were funny people involved reacting to like what is, you could argue, like a sad situation that's also concerning. Like Kelly was escorted back to New York by a producer. Someone had to sit with her on the plane. Like that's not a great dynamic to be in. That's like line crossing sadness. Like there's stuff happening here.
And you think we're going to see that
without
someone,
an ensemble of people that can even enable us to process this in a way that works for their environment of Real Housewives of New York. We have no people. We have no guides. No, what we have is like a shot of a producer surrounded by people being like, reality TV broke Uba. Yeah. And I don't think that's entertaining. I'm sad for her. I'm genuinely sad for her.
reality TV is not a good fit for Uba. No. I think Uba, one could argue, has the best life of any of them outside of filming this show. But she is not in a good place right now because, not to blame the show, but I just do not think that Uba and the show work. They're not, it's not a good combination.
It's both like the concept of this kind of reality show plus this specific cast that like has like a Brynn that is actively poking at her all the time to get her to freak out. Like, it's just a bad fit across the board.
Also, if someone was like prank calling or whatever Abe and I was in this, in the sort of ensemble watching this, I would say something out loud. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for like killing the joke here, but I think it's weird. So even Uba, there's like understandable reasons why she would
be. Abe start to have phone sex with us.
No part of me wants that with any housewife or husband. That's not why I'm watching Housewives. I want to hear you talk about your sex life in the ways that groups of friends, especially women, talk, and we're explicit when we talk about our sex lives because we're like with other friends and you talk about stuff. You connect over stuff. This is not connection. This is them like playing LOL at the Chuckles Factory and Uba reacting to that and being like, this is not funny. And then everyone turning around her. I would understand going to a place that's maybe not great because I'm like, where is everybody else right now?
Right.
Which is not taking away from her overreacting to things.
Right.
But I also think this environment is so fucking weird that if you don't acknowledge it's weird, I don't even know what that makes you, you know?
I just hate this show.
It's too much.
I hate the show. I am going to watch the finale because I do need to see, like, how does this wrap up?
In a bad way.
It's not going to be good.
And then it's going to kick into a reunion that's, like, super sad because everyone's like, oh, my God, this wild thing happened at the finale that's not going to be entertaining. I could be wrong for the very first time.
I would be excited for the reunion if I thought that Andy was going to hold these women accountable for how bad this season was. Like, stare in the eyes of Aaron and Rachel, Rebecca Minkoff.
Oh, my God.
Rachel Antonoff.
Which we decided yesterday, the reason that Jenna is calling her Becky M is because she thinks she's Rachel Antonoff. Because I was like, who's like a, mid-aughts designer named Rachel? And it just occurred to me, Rachel. I was like, Rachel. And that, and I get it. Jenna, apologies to Rachel Antonoff, who I couldn't know less aside from, like, her clothing
cute
line.
Clothes. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
It's fine.
It's for a certain, yeah.
But, like, I need Andy to, like, sit Aaron and Rebecca down and be like, that was bad. What did you think you were doing with this prank? Like, do you understand why it makes you so unlikable? Like, I want, but he's not. He's going to be like, but you are not really having an orgy with guys, right? And Rebecca will be like, no, I'm just a Scientologist. Like,
it's so much.
Anyway, I'll keep watching, but I'm not going to like it.
I really, it's like 30 it's minutes of me being like, I just really hate it. There was something about last night that genuinely broke me. It broke me last night.
Last night was like the least. Because also I feel like my friend was like, I am watching Real Housewives of New York for the same reason that I'm like it's just for the fashion. Like, I'm interested in, it's like why I'm watching Selling Sunset. Like, I'm just like, what are these maniacs wearing?
Okay.
And I was like, okay, that's like a nice way to distance yourself from how bad it is. And she was like, I got to find some way to like process this. And so that's like her. And I have seen, like, it's like, we've seen like fun outfits from like Raquel. Like, I like seeing her jewelry. Like, I like, we're not even getting that. Like, they're all just in like pretty average bathing suits. And like, no one's that dressed up. And like, it's just like, there's nothing even to, like, they're not even like, I like, it was a rainy beach day. So it wasn't even like, ooh, like, look how nice that looks. Like, it was just like, nothing is appealing about this show.
And I just want to hear more about Brynn's incredible proclamation. You fly commercial, I fly private.
Yeah.
I'd like to know more about that, Brynn. How we fly in private, babe.
I am convinced that apartment she shoots in is a furnished temporary rental that she got for the show, and she does not live there and never has.
I would believe that she lives there and is just being, I would assume, financially reckless. And thank you. That's like the one thing that you did for us, arguably for yourself. Like, that's something, but we're probably never going to discuss because hopefully we never see these people again, except we will forever. But
clean house.
something's, let's hear more about the you fly commercial, I fly private. Yeah. Let's like continue that sentence.
Where are you flying private?
Where are you flying private?
With whom?
Who's paying that bill, Bryn? Because then we're going to, I don't think Bryn is paying $50,000 to go to Europe or whatever it costs.
No.
And I actually do think it's like 50K because I think on a Housewife show where other people fly private,
yeah,
where it's like quiet luxury, like Bryn is pretending she's quiet luxury while being a giant fucking sequin,
yeah,
and wearing this clothing that is so fucking expensive. And we have not seen, first off, we haven't seen any of these people with their actual friends.
They don't, I think Bryn doesn't have any.
I think one could argue several of these people don't have any, which I know is not true.
Friends.
I think Aaron probably has good friends, and I think Sai has friends.
I think Sai has, like, I'm actually interested in a little bit more of Sai's.
Yeah,
life.
I love Sai.
She looks great this season.
She looks incredible.
Her
confessional,
love her
the bronze kind of confessional thing. Mm. Loved it.
Loved her, natural hair. And she has, like, she's, like, looking a little like Ashley Darby. There was, like, one of her, like, confessionals. I was like, oh, it's, like, the same, like, the cheeks. Like, look, there's, like, something that I was like, yes, I like this look. It works for her. I like how she's styled this season. Like, mm-hmm. It's just, you know, good for her. And I'd like to know more about her, I guess.
It's very weird that we have not seen these women at dinner, going shopping with, like,
it's all
friends,
like,
who are
really
not
isolated.
Members of the cast. Yeah, it's really isolated. And then we watch an ensemble that doesn't work together, that doesn't trust each other, film, and we're pretending it's a friend circle. And it's like, okay, well, if you still want to manufacture that, great, but show us also actual friend circles. Yeah. Because the whole thing about New York wasn't just the cast. It was the Joanies. It was the, what's her face?
All the
Barbara Kays.
Elise.
Yeah.
The dark hair.
Yeah. Crypto. Yeah. Like, there were all of these people who were interesting characters, and it worked because they were genuinely friends.
And then
the show broke those friendships.
Yeah.
And we want to see Ramona and her. We don't want to see Ramona ever.
And
again,
her 62 best girlfriends celebrating her birthday every year.
Buying her a Chanel because she told them to, even though this woman has more money than fucking God, but she needs everybody to chip in $100 because she's withholding tangential fame unless they participate, and then she'll allow them to sign a release. We don't have any of that.
This was my criticism of New York when it was originally rebooted, and I was like, the problem that we're seeing, and we've seen it in other franchises too, and I think it's a little bit of, like, we've never kind of come out of, like, the, like, COVID broke a lot of shows, and I don't know if they ever quite recovered in terms of, like, going back to what things were before, or if they can. But, like, New York used to be like, we're filming in public where there are other people that aren't just, like, blurred out faces that won't sign waivers. Like, we were going to events where there were other people that made up the world of New York. We were seeing these lunges, and, like, all we've seen from this group is, like, weird, isolated, like, 3 p.m. lunches at places they could get filming, like, and then trips and, like, being in someone's home. Like, we're never out in the world. Like, this show could be taking place in any city. And that's probably the biggest crime.
It is, because we are in fucking New York City.
You're in New York City.
We're recording this in New York City.
This is more New York than anything that I've seen on this show in two seasons. Like, we used to be getting, like, even when they go to the Hamptons, they're going off season because Erin clearly just rents that house. She does not actually, like, stay.
Oh, no, I think she owns it.
No,
I think she rents it out.
No, she rents it out. So they'll only go in the, I know they're shooting in the fall, and that's, like, whatever. But I'm like, you're going there because Erin doesn't have rental people in it because it's off season. Like, we're just not even getting, like, we used to be at the Hamptons in the summer. We used to be going to Dorinda lighting the Christmas tree at the not Rockefeller Center, but the Palace Hotel. Like, we
just
used to
an avenue away.
Go to events and do stuff. And, like, these women are just, like, isolating, like, hanging out by themselves one on one or on this trip that is, like, they're not even, like, meeting people on the trip. Ramona used to make friends everywhere she went.
We need to talk about this. Because if we don't talk about this and how bad New York is, who will? And then we're all going to end this season like Uba, genuinely
being broken
and being like, where the fuck am I? And why is everybody pretending it's great? It's not great. It's not. And I'm really concerned for the reunion. I'm nervous that it's going to be, like, the worst thing that we have genuinely ever seen. And the season 13 of New York was bad. Yeah. It was not good. But it was even, really fucking dark.
Yeah. But even that, I remember there was like at least a scene or two where I was like, we're still here. This is nothing. This is garbage.
If and when, you know, you sidle up to a Bravo executive at whatever, mm-hmm. and they try to tell you to watch Real Housewives of New York, that's a 911.
Yeah.
That's when you call 911 and you say this is an emergency. You call 311 and you say I'd like to file a report.
Yeah. I'm seeing something.
It's a noise complaint.
I'm saying something.
It's a noise complaint. Every Tuesday at whatever fucking o'clock it is, I have a noise complaint.
This is bothering me.
There's screaming happening from my body. I'm the reason that I'm calling and self-reporting because it's so bad. And I just needed to say that. And if people find value, mazel tov. I think that's genuinely great. This is the thing. I want Housewives to be good. I talk about it.
I want it to be good.
I want it to be. I want there to be.
I don't
want
to complain. I want to be sitting here being like, oh my God, last night, this scene, I was dying.
I don't think.
And now I am dying, but from boredom.
Right. And apologies because like, I don't even know, like, as a podcaster, like, taking myself out of it, like, I don't know that I would want to hear myself just, like, complaining for 40 minutes or whatever. 25, whatever. But I can only react to what's been shown to me, and what's been shown to me is a pile of fucking shit.
Yes.
And a dead bird, which I think, arguably, at beaches
symbol
all over the
season.
World, symbol of the season, but also, like, that pigeon, you know.
Yeah.
And no more of the. I don't want to hear about pigeons ever again. And that is not a.
If I hear the word pigeon in the finale, I'm turning it off and never turning Bravo back on again.
Justice for pigeons, number one. And also, like, that's not. It's like they're trying to make it seem like it's symbolic of New York. And it's like, no, we love pigeons in New York City.
We love pigeons in New York. We love
Team Pigeon. But, like, stop saying it. It's like you're trying to start a trend.
Like, a rat is what you're trying to say. Like,
oh, yeah, they should be saying rat.
They're idiots. In the words of Luann talking about Sonia comparing her relationship to Tom to her own, well, she's an idiot. All-time favorite line delivery from Luann.
I hate this for us.
I hate it for us.
But
we deserve more.
We deserve more. And I swear to fucking God, if this cast is back next season, it needs to be a... I'm taking to the streets. It needs to be a 70% call. It needs to be 100% call.
Right. It actually needs to be 100, but I understand that they might need to have continuity since they just rebooted this thing.
They shouldn't. There's no continuity here.
End it.
We should forget this ever happened as soon as it's done.
Close it, lock it up in a box, and throw it in the ocean.
Whatever the opposite of never forget is, we want to forget.
Yes.
Hashtag forget.
Yes. I would like to be severed, like to not know this anymore.
Literally give me severance. Because that's working out real great on Apple. Spoiler alert. Like, they're loving that whole thing where they, like, turn off your brain or whatever. I don't even think that's a spoiler. They're severing your memory. And then everybody loves it. And the whole show on Apple is a romantic comedy of, like, oh, my God, I love my computer. And
it's not a dark critique of capitalism at all.
No. It's just, like, a romp in the woods. And that's what I want for us, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. Or for them. Mm-hmm. Or for somebody. It's... Everybody involved in the Real Housewives of New York, so many people are, you know, like, it's not their fault. They were given this. And, like, the editors, they didn't have anything to do.
Right. They had to make something out of what they had. And I understand.
It's a miracle.
But the producers,
they've got some.
They needed to stop that pregnancy prank when it started.
And this has been mentioned before by people smarter than myself, but, like, the fact, you might have been the person to mention it, the fact that the pregnancy prank was such a big part of the trailer, you knew at this point, that's actually super fucked up.
That's bad.
That's really bad. Everyone involved in the show should seek guidance.
Yes.
Not from anyone else involved in the show, but from a higher power, your DVR, you should go back in time and remind yourself what this show could be mm-hmm. and hopefully what it can be again, mm-hmm. but with none of these people involved. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be a huge call in whoever the fuck is running the scenes behind the scenes. Do not allow that person. And I'm sorry, like, everybody, you know, like, I want you to work with her. They should not be involved in any decision making. If they want to, you know, I mean, Colin Farrell had made some great points about the importance of catering when he won his Golden Globes. Like, mm-hmm. there are other
production
things,
jobs.
Other production jobs that are very important.
Not basically story editing.
That's not driving story or thinking, I'm super smart at this. Like, there are people who were forced to work on this. Like, they had to try to make this work with the cast. I just think there are other people who are like, oh, I know what to do. This is real fun. And I think those people, someone should define fun.
Yeah.
Like that other, was it a documentary? Funny Games. Remember that? Remember that movie that I Wikipedia'd? Oh, talking about scary movies.
Yeah, did you guys ever do funny? Not a documentary.
No, I was going to make a joke, but it's fine. It's not. It's just like that obviously funny movie.
Yes.
That is what I think of when I think of this season of New York. And if you're looking for a family movie for your small children,
certainly.
Absolutely Funny Games. Absolutely Funny Games.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's shift gears, shall we, okay. A little bit? This episode of Beverly Hills.
I'm having fun in Beverly Hills. Mm. I'm interested in what's happening in Beverly Hills. I have not said that in years. Mm-hmm. I am loving just kind of like there being actual drama that it's also nice that there's drama that's happening that's not happening in a courtroom with people who have died. Mm-hmm. I think it's like as compelling as Tom and Erica's criminal history is. Mm. There was a point where I was like, this isn't what I watch Bravo for.
Yeah. We're not supposed to be watching court TV.
Yeah. That's
a different network.
That's a different thing. Mm-hmm. But here we are back to divorces and texting. And that's really what the show is built on.
There are little glimpses of it. Like when Erica's talking about Tom's second wife, like how she pulled up with a U-Haul and like Erica's like, well, I'm only taking these cups. And I'm thinking because like that's court ordered, sweetie.
Yes.
Because
literal
orphans that's not yours. Technically paid for the artwork and the masterpiece. Piece in that weird fucking little church room or whatever. Like there are other people paid for that, I would argue, sort of shit show of an older home. Like I think Erica's house now is a lot better.
I like her house now.
Yeah.
I would live in her house now. I would not have lived.
I wish I could.
I would not have lived in that other house.
No.
Too spooky.
Too spooky. Like your current husband is haunted.
Yes.
So like what do we think the furniture is gonna do? You know?
But I just like that we're back to basics of fighting, of sisters, of ex-husbands. Mm-hmm. This is what Beverly Hills is all about.
I don't know if it's I'm a little concerned in watching the after show that Erica is taking back some of her friendship with Sutton and Garcelle. I'm a little concerned about it because I actually fucking loved Chuck E. Cheese.
I thought it was fun. It was a little
was
like
fun.
There's a little bit of it where I'm like, ugh, it's always like a little gross when like rich people are like, this is what the poor do. But I think it was more intention. It was less about the class element of it and more about the like adult ladies, kids fun. Like,
yes.
But it's like, it's still like toes onto like, why are we in the Valley? But like, I'm like, half of you live in the Valley.
I was about to say,
like Dorit's like five blocks away.
Literally. I liked it that I felt like it was lighter and they were charmed by each other and like
they were having fun.
Trusted
I think they
each
were
other.
Having fun.
I think that they were having fun. That's why I liked it.
That's what I think also is like so interesting, but then also like kind of disappointing about like because I think Erica and Sutton do have fun together.
Agree.
I think that there is a lane of that friendship that if they can stay in it, I like watching it. I think they're having a really good time. Mm-hmm. Those laughs are genuine. Mm-hmm. I think that they like are like, I think there's like a level on which they do connect that I really like seeing. I think Erica picks and chooses when she wants to be in that lane, and it feels a little like, can't you just be in that lane? Mm-hmm. Like, can't you just have fun? Like, do you have, but like, and it's like, whatever she did, Sutton's not a good person. Like,
Sutton bringing up infidelity
to Kyle at their country club,
to day. Kyle at
tennis,
somebody's. Wasn't it somebody's house?
It was her house, right?
Yeah. But we were pretending it was a country club.
They were like, oh, it's like, we'll play tennis. It's like, we're at a country club. And I'm like, you're all too rich.
I loved that moment because you could see
behind those sunglasses, Kyle's eyes.
Kyle.
Burning into her.
Disemboweled her as soon as cameras went down. But the thing of it is, and I watched the after show and I watched that scene and I thought to myself, Kyle's answers here aren't tracking, because Kyle's trying to say
no, Kyle's
there was no infidelity
above her level of keeping track of lies.
She is. And I just thought to myself, well, does that mean that what you were saying on the reunion wasn't true? Or was it what's happening here? What's the lie? That they dealt with infidelity. That's my takeaway. That was Sutton's.
Right.
So how are you telling us?
And now it's like, how dare, like, I missed like the middle, like 10 to 15 minutes of the episode, and it ended there for me. So
you
I don't
miss anything. I don't think.
No, but I don't know, like, yeah, what got recovered after.
You saw you saw the beginning chunk and the end chunk and missed a little bit in the middle. The thing with Kyle is she's like, how dare you say that? Which I understand her saying it. Thank God Sutton did, but I understand her saying it. But Kyle said that to all of us.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about that. Like, who's...
Or say who's, nothing. Like, it's like she likes to be like, well, yeah, but like, but only like she chooses the truth when it makes her look like a victim or make her look good. And it's like, just be like, tell us what happened.
Kyle is a big...
You know, I don't like Kyle.
I know. And we're still friends somehow. Yeah. Kyle's a big fan of dropping a little bit of a nugget, and then God forbid you ever reference it or hold her, give her a little bit of tension. She loses her shit. She cries and she walks out. Yep. And that looks like
what's happening next week.
Next week is that she's going to lose her shit about people saying she's not being loyal to Dorit because of the stuff with PK. And to be honest, I get Kyle. I get like 5% of it with Kyle, because I think people are going to draw different stuff, but I also think she's absolutely lying about things, and she 100%. Has never been held accountable
ever
as easily as she has other people over issues far greater than her own.
Yes.
When it comes to like, did Mo fuck someone? Like, then what were you talking about?
Right.
Was he, because then she
did that happen? Okay, say it. And if it didn't happen, say that. And if you don't want to admit that that's what happened, then get off the show.
Well, I mean, okay, but
I find her so inauthentic, and like, and everybody's like, she's so real, and I'm like, she's so fake, she's so picking and choosing. Like, I can't sit here and be mad at Jenna Lyons for being like, what's your wife look like, and then praise Kyle, because I'm like, you do this, like, she just picks and chooses. She picks and chooses different things. She's a little more aware of how to make herself look like, and we've seen real like. All of her sister shit, like all, like we've seen real stuff from Kyle, but then like she decides what to share and then gets mad when like people are like, well, wait, what about that?
It gives a little Oz Great and Powerful energy.
Yes.
Of like what's actually going on behind the curtain. And also like maybe Kyle doesn't know for sure if Mo be fucking. Like,
and I think that's probably the most likely is like, all right, was it? Did it probably happen? Yes. Can she prove it? And will he admit it? Maybe not. But then say that.
Yeah. And if he was flirty or something in DMs with Bravo fans or just random women or whatever, some combination of the two, some little Venn diagram, then communicate that. Then we need to talk more about it. But then we also need to talk about the fact that you were selectively, strategically cagey in what you were trying to say. And again, maybe it's because she's like protecting her kids, but you signed up for reality TV, sweetie. We need to get into some of this.
Also, those kids are all a little too old for her to lean on them.
Of course, she's like 15. I know, but continue. Yeah.
But it's like it's different than like, if Dorit brings up, it's like Dorit's kids are like a toddler and like an 8-year-old or something.
Yeah, they're like 8
They're like kid kids.
Yeah.
And like, her girls, like, I know that, like, one of them's still in high school, but, like, she's in high school and she's been on the show. Like, they've been on the show for like a decade.
The older that Portia gets, the younger I get. And mm-hmm. I think that's crazy. Incredible math.
Yeah.
Incredible. Because I still remember, I was about to say in her cage. What's that called? Your
crib?
Yes. The way I'm like dog forward. I'm like, what's it called? The dogs go to sleep. And that's a crate, actually. That's a crate, not a cage.
I think a crate is a perfectly fine place for a child.
But I still remember with her little banana curls. Remember when she just woke up and she kind of like smiled at the camera? The cute, like literally the way I think about the Umansky kids, but I actually do think it's probably just Portia specific because we saw more of her.
Yeah.
And the Judice Judice kids. And when they grow up, like Melania is like almost in college she is in college.
She is in college, right?
That is wild to me. From Give Me Pizza, You Old Troll, which I would love to hear her say now, to be honest, to like she's a beautiful young
she's like
adult
in a sorority,
in a sorority volunteering, or something. Yeah. Like being incredible. It's just it is one of those things that like it I actually do think it's really meaningful as someone who hopes to never have children, but my goal would be an incredible aunt. Like I would love to be a dog mom. I think about it every single day, and hopefully one day that will happen.
I'm just cat momming.
There's nothing so better. Great. But like, shout out to all of the other parents of cat and dog children, also known as children.
Yes.
I love that journey for you. And genuinely, and there's something we don't talk enough about actually Andy has in a way that I found really profound, like very meaningful, maybe more than profound, like the incredible job that so many of these women do as parents. Like we're well past, with some exceptions, like the Lynn Curtin of it all, where we're seeing just absolute sadness and chaos and these kids are like going through it. I just think that there's something so lovely about watching strong, powerful, smart, funny women just kind of creating the next generation, hopefully, of smart, powerful kind of anyway. But also you can't constantly use that as an excuse for why you're not participating and saying,
yes,
maybe God forbid, shitty things about your, I believe, estranged husband who you may never be married to maybe again or be like permanently separated. Like stuff needed to happen. And we've been twiddling our fingers around rumors and whatever else for a while. I would like to hear more about why you don't want to be with Mauricio anymore. Yes. I think God forbid, this is a terrible thing to say, but I
owed it.
We deserve it. I want to hear, because we've seen the fairy tale for so long, and I'm bereft about the fact that they're no longer together.
Like, yeah.
I'm still experiencing grief.
A big part of like who Kyle was in this Bravo universe was like the strong marriage to the hottest husband and their beautiful family and all of their homes. And yeah, there's a lot of other stuff going on with like other parts of her life, her friends, her, you know, other family. But like, you can't like run on that basically as like who you are. And then when that does fall apart, be like, I'm not going to tell you anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this job is. And if you can't do the job, then it's time to go. I know.
But that time should never happen because she should be on this show forever. But
if she tells us anything about her life, if she's going to be in a maybe relationship with a person who she won't let anybody talk about and she won't talk about her divorce and all of the and like she seems like kind of good right now with Kathy and we don't know a lot about Kim, but like that's probably
for
the best.
I don't think we should know about.
No, like I don't need to know about Kim. Yeah. But like if all of her drama.
For the benefit of Kim
for
and
Kim's, safety.
Family. Yeah.
We don't need. That's not like fodder for TV.
Yeah.
But like if all of Kyle's drama is like getting involved in other people's shit. Like, I'm sorry that some of it has to be you.
And asking Sutton repeatedly to choose your friendship, which you still have problems sort of defining over her job on this show. Someone needs to be asking these questions.
Yes.
And I feel like so often it has been Garcelle, but like it shouldn't always have to be Garcelle.
Right.
Because then there's the question of like, well, who is Garcelle friends with in the cast? And it's like, well, someone has to do some of this
Somebody
fucking
has
shit.
To do the work.
Yeah. So like Sutton should have to do it more. And Sutton likes to do it.
She likes to do it. And she can do it.
She can do it. Sutton works.
And like, and I think that there's like a safety to Sutton that like Sutton has a whole life and she's got a whole ass bank account. Oh, and if this disappeared tomorrow, I think she would still have a really great day.
I think she would figure out a way to make $300,000 a month work on top of the just flat checks that were written and the property and the businesses and everything else. I think that, you know, like couponing, would love to see her on that show. Like she's figuring out a way to make her budget work for her life. And we, I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed that she has figured out a way
to make all of this
$300,000 a month work
while
for
owning your home outright. Like
she could buy anything.
Anything. And but like, I think that's she's someone who's like, I don't think she would be like emotionally destroyed. Like she's happy to step in and do this. And there is like an element of like, I don't care what happens to me. Like,
but also the best part of Sutton, I think, is like with all of her wealth and whatever else, like she's still super emotionally reactive.
Yes.
She still goes from 0 to 1,000.
Yep.
She cannot buy a level of just space between her and whatever she spews in response. And we love to see complicated people on Housewives.
Yes,
we love to see imperfect people. And Sutton is a big fucking example of that.
I want to talk about the text.
Okay. Just take a moment. Just all the Kyle stands. We join together in hands. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Just breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out.
Because I don't like Dorit. No one likes Dorit. Mm-hmm. But I will say, like, I'm enjoying this season seeing her direct her anger rightly. Like, I feel like my problem with Dorit is she would always get angry, but it's like, oh, that's like not the direction you should be going. Like when she would get mad at Garcelle and it's like, girl, you're just racist. Like that's not actually the like you should be mad
she
at.
Can't be racist because one of her mom's friends is black,
right? Yeah. Remember they had that? All kinds of help in the house.
Yikes.
That's how her kids are getting raised.
We
to
cannot go back there
different.
we can't.
But like, I think along the way, like Dorit has gotten angry at people and always kind of sided with Kyle, like excluded Kyle from her view,
protected Kyle,
stood up for her and done all this stuff. And I will say it is refreshing to see Dorit get angry and for that anger to be directed actually where it belongs in this moment. Like, I'm not saying she should have always been mean to Kyle. Like, I think for lots of time they were just. There was no conflict with them. Mm-hmm. But the conflict that exists right now is the exact correct conflict that Dorit should be leaning into. And that's like, if I'm Dorit and I'm having this, and I'm going to, in this, I'm choosing to believe this divorce is real. Mm-hmm. This anger and sadness is very real between Dorit and PK. And no other, like, I don't know anything else about, except for the four, these two couples that are now both divorcing. The four of them were friends. And I've always stood by my friend.
Okay, I just want to say, just for the record, that we've had to stop 3 times during this recording, including to get a PR box. Shout out Bread's Bakery. We are both friends.
We are friends. I love Bread.
We are family.
I love Bread's. They're tomato focaccia in the summer. I get it. Ooh. And then heat it up in my oven and then put a little fresh mozzarella on it. Ooh, well, bae.
We just want to shout out our friends at Reality Tea and Bread's Bakery. They just did a little collab. We got a little delivery.
Fun.
Back to...
If I'm Dorit and I've spent 6 or 7 years on the show defending Kyle... We were couple friends. We're both going through divorces. And I felt very slighted by Kyle in the last several months and not really as like valued as a friend. And I found out that you and my estranged husband are sending memes back and forth. I'm pissed. Like, and then to see last night's episode and see Kyle's text that's like, I'll never say anything about anything we talked about and we could still joke around as a text to PK. I would be fucking livid. I hope that Dorit tears Kyle's asshole out. Like, this is, like, really shitty. Because the thing is, Kyle wants it both ways. If Kyle had been like, we are not close. I don't really like you as a friend anymore. And I want you just out of my life and whatever. And then you find out, like, okay, that's, like, betrayal and shitty. But, like, Kyle wants the world where she looks like she's never done anything wrong to Dorit. She's like, I've actually been a good friend and you've been the bad friend, but you've been texting with her husband. And now it seems like, oh, and maybe you guys share a lot of information that you're going to keep private for some specific reason. I would be like, I think that is fucking shitty.
There is a way to look at this, mm-hmm. which is maybe not great for those of us who identify so strongly and passionately and so lovingly with Kyle, but also have eyes, the hills have eyes, the Beverly Hills have eyes, which is that Kyle made the point of saying we only share memes and emoji or whatever because from a certain point forward, she knew strategically that she could only do memes so that a person could argue, if that person was Kyle, that's all we do. Because from a certain point forward, she knew that if this came up or for whatever reason, it would look bad. And when she started to read the text, I have to be very honest, I was so confused. I thought it was a text with Dorit.
Oh,
so I was like, I had to go back. I was like, I don't understand what's happening. And then when it's like revealed, or people just understand.
Right. Or when people who were paying attention realized that it was PK.
Ouch, shots fired, landed. That it was with PK. I was like, what the fuck? Okay, so I just have to say, because I took a photo. First off, need to know Kyle's nail polish, loved it. The photo of the screenshot of the text is really interesting because something happened.
She's holding it weird.
Holding it like she's holding it above a prior message that PK sent to her. And her response was, and it's not a photo, but it's something that's like blocked out. Her response was like laughy face and a clover. So what Irish housewife, or I don't know why I'm assuming it's housewives, somebody was being dragged and I want to know what that was about. But anyway, her response to him is, or to Dorit, depending on choose your adventure. I know you have a lot of friends, but I am also one, which is weird. Sidebar.
That's a weird thing to say.
That's a weird thing to say. What that says to me is you have my allegiance.
And like, I understand there is an element of this of Kyle doesn't drink anymore. PK is now sober. If that's a piece of it, I'm fine with that.
Love that.
But that's not what's happening.
That's not what's happening. I know you have a lot of friends, but I am also one. And here, if you need me, I've never repeated anything you have shared with me and never.
Like, that's the most incriminating. That is one of the most incriminating text messages we have seen on Housewives. That is so unbelievably like, okay, secrets, right? We got secrets and we're not going to share. Like, it is so, if Dorit, and like, I'm interested, like, obviously, and Kyle brings that up being like, none of you can tell anybody about this text message. That's how she introduces it. She's like, this stays here. And clearly Garcelle then goes and tells Bose and Bose goes and tells Dorit.
Continuing on.
Loving Bose.
I know. Love you, Bose. Parentheses, meaning you can trust me always, close parentheses, will keep sending memes.
like, hey, let's send memes. Like, that's such a weird
and won't forget laughing emojis, which I know, you know, people who come from a place of no could say that's the starting line. Mm-hmm. Or also maybe they just sent each other memes and laughing emojis and also talked about real shit. And like, that's not
I think that is the most likely thing, is like they had always been sending memes back and forth, because I think that's like who both of them are, and when they were all friends that was fine, and now that they're not, but it's like being like, okay, from now on it's just this, and also I will keep all your secrets and protect you and but like whatever, like it's not good. It's a bad look for Kyle.
Another way to think about it is she just had maybe more conversations with PK than she did Dorit. That's at least what she's trying to tell us last week's confessional. I'm closer with PK, which didn't make sense when we were just thinking it's because you're telling us it's only memes and laughing emoji. You're not saying, but before BCAD, like we're not hearing what happened before that point. But then another wrinkle for that is her saying Dorit never told me anything. So I, you know, maybe that's why her friendship with PK is closer. But then we get these flashbacks of Dorit quite literally on camera telling her things were not great with PK. And that's on camera. Yeah. And I do believe that behind the scenes, she was telling Kyle more.
And I believe, like, do I think that the majority of their friendship played out on camera? Yes. But I also think that they were friends and did tell each other stuff all these years.
It's wild
because
that's
Kyle
now
being
used.
We're just friends at work, and it's like, I'm sorry, no.
The four of you
hung out a lot, like
Fox Force.
The four of you, you know, were awful together, and like, but like they were friends, and you know that like we didn't see all of it on camera, even if it was all stuff that was like didn't get used. It's like there was like a lot, like And also, even if you're just friends on camera, I'm sorry, you're talking about your life to somebody who is supposed to be a friend. Like, what? That still counts.
It still counts.
It's not like you only talked about, like, Excel sheets together. Like, you still were, even though you were at work, you were still talking about your lives with each other in a way that friends do. Like, I don't like the, like, we're only friends at work when work is pretending to be friends with each other.
And they are only friends at work when it benefits Kyle. And they're very, very close when it benefits Kyle. And now we're in a different chapter, which is what Dorit is now acknowledging. I'm only going to do what benefits me. And it's time.
It's time.
She deserves, she has the right to say it no longer, whatever. And she doesn't have PK as her protector, which is the role he sometimes failed at, but like, she doesn't have that partner with her. She doesn't have someone who's like, I'm gonna defend you, or we're gonna keep each other's secrets or whatever else. Right. She doesn't have that. And so, and she doesn't have it with Kyle. And maybe her argument is she never did. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Kyle could stay on the show as long as this fight's going on, because it is interesting.
Kyle can stay on the show forever, but also the running away and screaming is, we've seen it.
We've seen it
many times. And I wish for Kyle that she had the ability or interest in sitting in discomfort more, because she doesn't constantly, she's a grown adult and a star who's, you know, whatever. She doesn't, I wish for her something more creatively interesting, mm-hmm. which is like, sitting in the discomfort and not constantly running away. And she's an actual producer. Like, she gets it. And I understand strategically why she would do it. But there's a part of me that's like, you know what?
At some point,
other people have taken it. So you need to take it a little bit more.
Right. Like, you've done it the other way for a while. So now it's time to fucking and I don't know, like, what her defense could possibly be after the running away crying in this moment. Like, she needs to own that that's what she did. And like, there's a lot of different ways to like take, like, we don't know what's coming next. Obviously, we haven't seen it. But like, clearly, Dorit finds out about that text message, whether it's the correct information or not. Like, I know it's going to go through Garcelle to Bose to Dorit, probably. And I get Kyle being like, you betrayed me by telling anybody about that text message to Garcelle. So I look forward to that fight.
But Kyle, I mean, it was like a, the thing that I thought was interesting, even though it's like really not interesting, I guess, is like, she screenshot it. It was from her camera roll.
Right.
It wasn't like she was scrolling up.
Right.
She had just screenshot it because she knew it could be important. And I know this is so stupid, but it's like, you're doing it on camera. So you just didn't want other people to find out so they could respond until after the episode had aired. But like, she knew, you know what you're doing when you're doing it.
Yes.
So, okay, we're going to like pretend that we don't, but you do.
But I'm curious to like what her, like when Dorit's like, okay, then. Like, what about this? Like,
Dorit just looking for a reason to be mad, and
she's able to find a couple.
Yeah,
this is a good one.
Go seek. Yeah, she's seeking.
Like, I would be if I were Dorit, I would be really, really, genuinely hurt to hear that.
I don't
like Dorit, so this is all. I like Dorit this season. I like, you know, I like what I'm watching.
Yeah, she's peacocking for good.
Yeah.
And we've seen her peacock for evil. And peacocks, allegedly, arguably, in real life, not the best, not the friendliest.
Oh, I believe it.
So, I mean, good for her.
They like, take up all those spaces on the zoo's pathways when they're walking around at zoos.
Also, this is perfect timing for Dorit. Like, her life crumbling is a great way to have some sort of career path
and agency.
This is going to work with her in a couple different levels, and I think their house is in, what's that called,
foreclosure?
Yeah, a little bit, just a little bit of it.
Were they renting or did they own that?
I think somebody did.
Right.
Someone who, you know, they were
their
owning.
LLC bought the house and they rent it from themselves, or who knows. Like,
I mean, I think, you know, having a mortgage is kind of like goal setting, right? Like, we'll be able to pay this off in 40 years, but like, maybe they, you know,
we don't know.
When are we going to get into that? Like, there needs to be a conversation where it's like, I don't know that this will happen, and it would absolutely involve PK really wanting to be a little bit more forthcoming, but about the fact that they could sort of never afford the life that they were presenting.
Yeah.
And they really did an awful lot of presenting.
It would be refreshing if, like, they kind of made the choice to be like, okay, let's open it up. Like, I think it would be interesting mm-hmm. to hear, like, because we've seen this a lot. We've seen lots of people living a life that they objectively can't afford on mm-hmm. camera. Mm-hmm. But we have not seen very many people then be like, we couldn't afford it then. We can't afford it now. Mm-hmm. Here's how we were like, as long as it's like, I get they're not going to want to incriminate themselves on camera. But if, like, they're like, yeah, we were taking out loans that we're now having to pay back and we're peeling back. I'm going to live in a studio apartment. I'm going to like, if we could see them be like, here's where it all fell apart. We thought that this money was coming in. It's not anymore. And we got in over, like, it would be nice to see somebody explain that a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't know that they've explained it to themselves. I think PK has just gotten, like, upset about maybe
not being rich.
Right, but also, like, he participated in this arguably as much as she did. So now he's like, I created a monster. And it's like, yeah, you created
a monster.
You were both, you're both responsible for how this went down. Yeah. I don't know that fighting over who's more responsible is helpful, but I could see that being a path for them.
Yeah, for sure.
Allison Leiby.
Hi.
What a dream.
What a dream.
I feel
what a roller coaster of emotions that Bravo is kind of, like, bringing out of me these past couple of weeks.
Yeah. Months. I think we needed to just really calmly talk out New York, which we absolutely did, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and celebrated Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Which is I'm so in. I'm so excited. And I've fallen off of Beverly Hills on other seasons in the last 4 or 5 years and been like, this doesn't do it for me anymore. And I am not feeling that right now. I'm feeling energized and enthused.
And Bose, chef's kiss.
Loving Bose. Like, I'm, she lost a house in the fires, which is really, I know. And Malibu?
I just love her. I forget.
She's an icon.
I'm not great at LA, where people live.
That's fine.
But, and for her to go through this now and see so many scenes taking place in her house.
Yeah, it must be really hard.
I cannot imagine how, like, wrenching.
Well, I don't know if it's that house.
No, it's that house.
It's that house?
It's that house.
Oh my God.
I know.
I thought it was, like, her beach house because I thought she lived in Beverly Hills. Bose just seems so rich. I assume that there were, like, a lot of properties in the portfolio. But, ugh, that's so devastating. Her house was stunning. And
I know.
She's been through.
It's really, honestly, like, I cannot imagine. And, you know, obviously, as there have been since the fires began, resources in the show notes for this episode, ways to volunteer, organizations to support, thanks to LA, thanks to Mutual Aid LA, and also a fundraiser. We're just under $20,000 that Bravo creators have fundraised for the Los Angeles Fire Department Foundation. Sorry, guys, I'm, like, losing my words right now because we have literally picked up recording three separate times while recording this episode.
And you just woke
up. So I'm like, and I literally just woke up. So good morning. And so if you'd like to donate to that fundraiser, myself and a bunch of Bravo creator pals, including Kiki Monique, herself an LA resident, Bravo, Bravo, Ducking Bravo, Bravo Betch. There's, like, literally 15 of us who've come together to fundraise. You can find that on my Instagram at Dame Galley again for the LAFDF, Los Angeles Fire Department Foundation. Arming firefighters with necessary supplies, just sending all of our love out there. It's just, and I really, really feel for Bose and many, many, unfortunately, thousands of people who have been affected. It's just, it's wild. It's literally wild. It's unbelievable.
It's so scary.
Yeah. It's incredibly upsetting. And so just sending all of my love and on behalf of both of us and the delivery that I just received as a collective, just thinking of everybody in the LA area, everybody who's been directly impacted. And let's do what we can. Let's do what we can with what we have. Allison Leiby, tell the AGs a little bit about Ruined, where they can listen. Well, I mean, not where they can listen. You can listen to any of these podcasts.
Wherever you listen to your favorite podcast,
we all say that.
Ruined, if you haven't heard, is where my very good friend, the brilliant Hallie Kiefer, recaps a different horror movie to me each week because I don't want to see them and she loves the genre. So if you're a Wikipedia reader for horror movies, this is the podcast for you. I also have another podcast called Welcome to Talk Town that I do with two funny comedians who I've known for a billion years, Greg Stone and Anthony DeVito. And it's mostly us just goofing off and kind of slowly building a town from the ground up in the way that we would like the world to exist. So, you know, it's very, very silly. If you need something that's like very escapist and dumb, it is the best time. It is some of the most fun I have all week when I record it. So that's Welcome to Talk Town. That's anywhere you get podcasts. There's also a YouTube. We record everything on video for some reason, because that's what things are now. Every podcast is just a non-union television show. So so that's fun. But we have such a great time. So if you want to listen to three friends goof off with another friend of theirs every week, that is there. It's at Welcome to Talk Town. Or you can listen to Ruined if you want to hear about horror movies at Ruined Podcasts on all social media and wherever you get your podcasts. And otherwise, I'm just kind of around.
Love that. And did you say where people can follow you on social?
Boy, it's all kind of dwindling. I guess Instagram and Blue Sky are the last two places, at Allison Libby on both of those. And look out, in the next month, I'll be launching a Substack. So more on that. I'll ask Sarah to be like, go follow that when it comes out. But it's going to be called Comfort Read with Allison Libby.
Oh my God. So nobody take that.
I already have it.
Oh, you already have it. Okay, great. Listen, we love to read. We love to be comforted. We love a comfort read.
Yeah. So, it's gonna be like a blog, like it's 2009.
Oh,
2009. And don't we all just want to go back to that?
You know what? And shout out Spidey and the fact that Spencer and Heidi lost their place, and also his, I believe his parents lost their place, and now he's like been like, well, you know, we've lost so much. Can we please get Heidi to be the number one pop star in the world? And then she became like number one like on Apple.
Yeah,
it's just unbelievable. Like Spidey circling back has been. Kind of an incredible moment and a little bit of an escape during just a crazy, crazy time. Yeah. So stream Heidi after you sign up for that Substack and do all the things and follow the stuff. You can follow me on Instagram at Dame Gally. Send me your satchels of gold so I can record a satchel spectacular this week. Your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Kaloran Ben Simone from Scary Island, about all things New York, Beverly Hills, Salt Lake City, Potomac, which I am catching up on, and more. And you can sign up for the AG Patreon, number one way to support the pod, at patreon.com/AndysGirls. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Gally. Excuse me, which is where you can also DM me your satchels. No voice notes, please. But also remember to include your first name and town. And I might unpack those on an upcoming Patreon episode.
Love that.
Love that. So Allison Libby, just a quick little short little app, which we're known for. Just a little mini episode.
Just a little mini episode of all the thoughts.
And sending my love to anyone, I guess, forcing themselves to finish New York.
Yeah, we're all in this together.
We're all in this together. And on that note, we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.